But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
With us tonight. Number one, understanding repentance. Understanding repentance. Understanding repentance. It is my hope that those God has given me a voice to speak to will hear this message. Too many things have been inputted by the princes in darkness to falsify the authenticity of the faith that has been handed to us. And if the average believer does not learn how to sieve out the chaff from the true content of the scripture, you will find many practices that are alien to the doctrines of the first apostles. I want to speak briefly on understanding repentance. Because if you want to talk about repentance, there is a wickedness that is responsible for the salvation experiences of many people. And after claiming that they are now under the lordship of Jesus, they don't find their life making obeisance to the command and demands of Jesus. There are a lot of people that say they know the day they came out and gave their life to Jesus, yet fear and doubt is always around them. They are not sure whether they are saved or they are not. There are a lot and a lot of people who are living worse lives than they were before they made that decision. And they have found ways to, you know, foolishly rely solely on the concept of the grace of God, that the righteousness they have is not their own. And so anything can happen, but God has paid it all. Understanding repentance. There is no repentance until a man has acknowledged his wrongdoing. If there is no acknowledgement of wrongdoing, repentance is not a conversation yet. Please come, Pastor Ono, celebrate him, please. If this brother comes to me after offending me, after doing things that, you know, are really wrong and everybody knows about it, then he comes to me, and when he comes, he just says, 2 days, I've not seen you. And then I say, even you two, I've not seen you. Then he just says, there's something that brought me. Actually, I have a challenge. The children's school fees are due and the government have not paid us. So, I don't know if I can just borrow something quickly from you. Anakazo, if you can hear me, please say amen. As a human being that you are, what was the first thing you expected from this brother? To apologize. To acknowledge his wrong first. Amen. The average Christian is bedeviled by all kinds of challenges along various fronts. Poverty, sicknesses, disappointments, name it all, fear, insecurity, doubt, all kinds of challenges. Unfortunately, in a bid to meet all of this deficiency in the life of this Christian, the princes that be have found occasion to point to the cross where Jesus is hanging, but remove Jesus from that cross. This is what is wrong with telling somebody who has financial challenges that let him give his life to Jesus first. When he is coming to that cross, he is not coming to acknowledge that he has transgressed immortal laws. He is coming to that cross just as a measure before he can get, is a means to an end for him. And so what he came seeking is financial prosperity. It is not the cross that saves, it's the person on the cross that saves. And so the devil and the princes that be, they enjoy us teaching and preaching with all kinds of references, as long as you don't show men what is hung on that cross. You can come out for an altar call and see people with tears. They cry profusely and some cutter come out of their nose. And I can tell you the truth, for many people, it's just superficial emotional decision. Because until the sinner acknowledges that he has transgressed the laws of God, salvation will be far from his borders. Repentance is on the strength of acknowledging that you are wrong. No acknowledgement. We come to God suddenly from wherever we came out from and just say, thank you for Jesus Christ. If not for Jesus, I don't know where we would be. Oh, thank you for your blood. You know, God bless you, sir. Sometimes it's alarming, the things we want to do. And then the brother now says, Lord, I thank you. We do that when we want to ride jump. We do that every destiny season. A man will go and check his salvation again. Is it my sin? Many people have texted me and say, sir, I don't know why God is not answering this prayer. Is it like because of my sin? I have confessed. So the reason why you confess is not that you are sorry. There is an answer you want. And you are trying to make anything that can stop that answer. You are trying to correct anything that will stop the answer. But true repentance is on the strength of acknowledging that you are wrong. It was this kind of route that the elders followed. They came knowing that they are sinners and only Jesus can save them. Can I share something with you? Anakazo, can I share something with you? The cross is a point of exchange. Let nobody lie or deceive you. The cross is a place of exchange. And any man that advances before the cross, he is coming to do a transaction. The cross is a place of exchange. Something will leave you and something will enter you. Unfortunately, not all men come to the cross to lay down their life. Many people do not come to exchange their life. They only come to edit their life. There are areas, small portions of their life that's the thing they need the cross for. Not a total, change of government. They don't want that. Marriage is delaying. Maybe it's because of the way I'm living my life. Let me give my life to Jesus. Somebody has the nerve, the effrontery, the impetus to say, sir, I have served, I have cleaned chairs, I have washed toilets. What have I not done? And I'm just looking at the ignorance. Genuine repentance. He says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, seeking his face, he says, I will hear them and I will heal the land. Humble themselves first. Acknowledgement. I am wrong. Have you ever come to that point where you and God met in a courtroom and you said, today I did not defend anything? Any verdict you pass, you are faithful. I am wrong. Whether you accept that in time or in eternity, one of these two places, that scenario must play out. Argue in time. When you get there, your lips will not be able to move when they are reading your file. You know, now they'll be talking, you'll be saying, but I am a free spirited. Continue. One day they'll be reading your file. You want to talk. You will not have the capacity to communicate. You won't even have a will. Repentance. Our land is under siege. Our land has all the signatures, all the symptoms of a city that has backslidden from God. There is something about repenting and reaching out to an individual and them, laying their life under the banner of Jesus. It's different from the kind of missions that God sends prophets to a whole land, so that they send Jonah to Nineveh. That repentance is not for a person, it's for a city. It's a corporate turning from the ways of evil to the ways of righteousness. This is the burden that comes with revival. He had to begin to pant, not for the salvation of his family member, not for the salvation of his friends, but that a whole city can see the errors of their ways. He says, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalm 85 verse 6. will thou not revive us again? I'm putting a question to somebody seated here quietly. Have you come to that point where you owned up to God that you are right and I am wrong? Until my only guess is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Until my only guess is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 10, it says that I may know him. To know him in that context is not to have mental information of him. To know is like a man and his wife becoming one. To know him means to come under him, to marry him. That's what it means for a man to know his wife, to marry her. That I may know him, that I may be brought under his family. Didn't stop there. When you want to know Jesus, you must die before you know him. The cross that killed him must kill you too. He says, who is he that wants to follow me? Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Every man has a cross. Nobody should lie to you. Your Christian journey will be full of struggle. Christianity is not a ticket to pleasure. Christianity is actually a life of suffering. Don't let anybody lie. In fact, the calling of Apostle Paul, he says, I've chosen you to suffer for me. Your call is to suffer. He said, when was the last time you heard anybody give you the detail of his call and he mentioned suffering as a part of it? I was sleeping on the Lord's day and a celestial creature with six wings appeared to me and told me, go to Port Harcourt. There I would make you a lifter of millionaires. I'm kingdom billionaires. Everybody's running to Abuja, Port Harcourt, and Lagos. Missionaries are being killed in Maiduguri. Village settlers don't have any pastor over them because people ran, and the ones who didn't run, they killed them. Yet people are hearing visions every day and every night. People are hearing marching orders, claiming Jesus spoke, and Jesus is only sending men to the city that I may know him. Suffering is part of this business. No, you cannot separate suffering and the Christian faith, because it is inside suffering that you learn perseverance. It is only in suffering that certain of your inheritance will be given to you. It's part of it. Unfortunately, the 21st century church is a consumer church. Give me, give me, give me. Lord, I receive. Lord, I claim. I tap. I sow. All kinds of cliches is about receiving. Who are those who can lay their own life down? Can't men also give to God? The elders live their life as an offering to God. Our generation is full of the consumer mentality. Everybody, Christianity now is about, what do we use prayer for? We use prayer to download, to receive, to get, to collect. The loudest amen is any amen that is attached to something that can affect your bank account or adjust your welfare in life. You will hear an amen that can deaf the ear of an unprepared preacher. Consumer mentality. We just want to continue to collect. A revival cannot break out upon the backs of this generation. The Lord will have to make ancient men out of some young men. Your body will change from your generation. Suddenly you will find out they are all heading south. A wind turned you towards the north and said, journey this path. It will not be popular. You may not be liked by your generation. And if you are a man who wants to be politically correct, you don't want any controversy, you cannot utter the counsel of God to a generation. If you want men to always like you, you will not be able to deliver his messages when he drops it upon your lips. Because everybody is trying to be liked, to be loved. Who cares what the world thinks? we put some teachings out there and some people go quickly, moved with, you know, the pettiness in their heart, and go and start challenging it. And the more they are challenging it, the message is going viral. Suffering is a part of this thing. It never changed. It's the ancient part. The elders knew it. Everybody who came to Jesus had to leave something behind. What did you exchange in that cross? Was it your life, or you edited your life? What did you exchange? Was it poverty? Because, of course, salvation has many bounties. But if you are not careful, you will focus on the bounties of salvation and you will forget your eternal destination. The salvation of your soul was the main thing. Men have not acknowledged their sins. Yet, all kinds of bogus conversations, all kinds of lofty declarations. There are only two destinations. I was reading something that shocked me. I've seen it many times, but it never made this sense to me. The Bible actually says, like the twinkling of an eye. The way you blink your eye now, that's how the rapture. You will not know. You will not even hear any sound. So quick, it has happened. What are the signs of the end? Men will become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. You will hear of war and rumors of war. Pestilence. What have you not seen? Oh, blind generation. What has not happened yet? Yet we continue to think that it will not happen in our time. They also prophesied that mindset, that they will say that we have been hearing it right from the days of our fathers, that he will come, and lo, he cometh not. So they even prophesied your mindset, that a people will rise who would sustain a mind that this thing has delayed. So even we too, it will not come in our time. He says, like the twinkling of an eye. You will just be inside that normal walk as you dress to go to work, and suddenly, people will be missing. Eternal life or eternal damnation. The rapture is not even, you know, what scares me the most. What scares me is the brevity of life. A man rise up like, you know, a giraffe, and in the evening you just see a poster somewhere. What happened? I saw him in the morning. The brevity of life. The thief comes when you don't expect. Death is a thief. It visits unexpectedly. I've seen a lot of people that in the last phase of their life, in the last days, I've seen stubborn men who try to give their life to Christ, you know, on sick beds, and their mouths, they were crying because their mouth could not confess what they wanted to say. A slave queen in my department died. Before she died, the same girl that used to mock Jesus, that make a rubbish of everything. Can I share something with you? Everybody must be a believer at some point. Some people will only believe when it's too late. But everybody will become believers. We are living in a dreaded time. A very dangerous period in existence. Very dangerous period. What shall separate us from this love of Christ? You don't know that when they were given the things that a believer will experience, they added affliction, they added sorrow, persecution, so that you will know that it's part of this journey. Now everybody thinks the more, you know, physically successful you are, it shows your level spiritually. They call you a man of faith if they can see certain results around your life. So can I ask you a question? What kind of faith does Lazarus have in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man? Do you not realize that it was the rich man that went to hell? A sensual generation. Can God wake a generation out of lust tonight? I'll do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my post. Can somebody decide tonight? Our pastor was sharing earlier, when God comes to look for you, he will go and look for you in the place where he assigned you. When God comes and check that family, and takes the inferno of darkness reigning over your sisters, your brothers. See how many people are in different captivity. But there was one man kept there as their defense. When God wants to look for you, he will not go to ABU where you are schooling. He will look in that family to see if your voice is keeping a wall of defense for them. If he does not see you, like our pastor said, he will cry, Adam, where are you? Where are you is a question for every destiny here tonight. Where are you? Are you in the middle of God's purpose for your life? Are you in the middle of God's demand for your life? The cross I'm speaking about is a wickedness by the Antichrist. Because a bag of money can be put under the cross and you can cry in front of it. It will look like repentance. But until men acknowledge that they have sinned, that they have transgressed the laws of God, and only God can save them, only then can salvation start. Do you wonder why we try to go through the processes and we don't see the results that the elders tells us that if we do these things, we'll see? Gone are the days where a sinner will come, give his life to Christ, and from that day, you will see him faithfully growing day by day, committed to God, and then becoming another person God will use again to bring others to the kingdom. Now, the lifespan of the average convert is 1 week, 2 weeks, they are back. Because the gospel that brought them was not the ancient part. We showed them poverty and showed money, bag of money under the cross. Until you come to Jesus, the cross is not what saves you. It is the object of affliction that is on the cross that saves you. So in the scripture I was reading to you, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. When you know him, you died inside him. But the same power that rose him up from the dead will also raise you up from that dead. So the power of his resurrection is another season where after experiencing his death by knowing him, the power of resurrection brings you into his life by the power that rose up Christ from the dead. He says, if this spirit that rose up Christ from the dead can dwell in your mortal body, he will revitalize you. He will quicken you. He did not stop there. It's not only the power of his resurrection. If he stopped there, we would have been clapping because that is what the average man wants. He says, and the fellowship of his suffering is part of salvation experience. I know you don't like this part. Let's read this scripture together. When you come to that suffering part, let's read it very loud. 1, 2, go. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. There was S. It's not one suffer, you will suffer. I will fellowship inside his sufferings. Do you know what the sufferings of Christ is? When 50,000 is available, if you can just compromise, but because of him, you turn your back. He knows you need that money, but that is the fellowship of his suffering. The Christian life is not only for advantage. There are many things you will miss because of Jesus. There are many things you will not get because of him again. There are people that will not talk to you again. You have lost them for life because of this Jesus. He says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. When you were coming to give your life to Christ, did they make this thing clear that are you prepared to suffer? You will take it, yes. Oh, my soul, I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, hallelujah. And so, a very powerful sacrifice, a very forceful move called the Christian faith that Jesus handed over to the early apostles. Mind you, Pastor Onu, there is no time where the church has been more powerful than the days of the early apostles. It began to decline from then. A point came when one of the last of them was about to exit time. He cried. He said, earnestly contend for the faith. That was his advice to the church left behind. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. This was not things we knew. It's not only that the Ujahe that is crying now. It's not only, you know, the elders that are sobbing. The elders in those days, they saw what the princes did. They found a way to partner in spirituality. There is nothing God does that Satan will not find a way to falsify. So even salvation, Satan can make you think you have come to make Jesus, but you only came to embrace Mammon. It was the Lord of money that you came for. There is nothing God does that Satan does not falsify. There are many people here. It is that evil doctrine, that evil gospel that brought you before Jesus. A selfish, self-driven, self-seeking heart. You didn't come acknowledging that you are a sinner and that death is your allotment. Only Jesus can save you. You came because you wanted something that only the condition of salvation must be predicated on. That thing is predicated on the condition of salvation. And so that's why. This holy move, this powerful wave that was once a forceful, you know, move that colonized regions and cost for repentance. Gradually became a culture in Europe, became an institution in Rome, and America merchandised it. The whole thing started from Greece. So the Greeks, they turned it into philosophy. All kinds of philosophers from the 18th and 19th century began to find a way to make it a philosophy. And then from Greece, the Romans turned it into an institution. From Rome, Europe turned it into a culture. It was once life. See what life is gradually decaying into. And then at the end, America merchandised it. It became a business. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. Can somebody bow their head down? 1 minute. I don't know whether Jesus is talking to you. Can somebody ask him, do to me what you did to the elders. Do to me what you did to the patriarch. What made them who they were? How comes they were invincible? Are you praying now? Through the waters I would go, if it leads me to you. Through the fire I would go, if the way leads to you. There's no other life for me, I'm committed to you. This is all there is for me, I'm addicted to you. Through the waters I would go, if it leads me to you. Through the fire I would go, if the way leads to you. There's no other life for me, I'm committed to you. This is all there is.
Kuminana kane ya Yesu.
Kuminana kane.
Kuminana kane ya Yesu.
Kuminana kane.
Yesu amashia.
Kuminana kane.
Yesu amashia.
Listen, Anakazo, very quickly before we go, I want to tell you one truth unapologetically, unashamedly. In the midst of this drama, in the midst of this bastardization of holy ordinance, even the structure that Jesus left behind has been gradually, you know, shifted, pushed, until it has become something that the immortals cannot recognize again. Something that was once an infusion of life. The only way to describe Christians then was when they saw people who were behaving like Jesus. So they called them Christians in Antioch in Syria. The reason was that they were like Christ. Now we don't define Christians by nature again. You cannot find the nature of Christ in men. You define Christians by what religion they fill up in forms. So in forms, when you are filling, you write Christianity. If you want to know the number of Christians in Nigeria, it is only by forms, not by lifestyle. Because those who live like him are few. It went from life, and they pushed it, like I said, I reiterate it again, first from Greece. The Greeks, they changed it into philosophy. Then they passed it over. And then the Romans made it an institution. After being an institution for a long time, Europe made it a culture. And after Europe, America merchandised it. Now we don't know what it was again. But in the blueprint of the divine, there are only four principal seasons for man. This is what I want to tell you before we go. Only four principal seasons allotted for man. And number one is birth. Mind you, life did not start in time. And I've established this point several times. From the studios of eternity, that was where they designed you. The Bible says the hair on your head are numbered. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Where did they make you? Before you were formed in your mother's womb. That was when they made you. The hair of your head, they are numbered. And so the reason for birth, tell somebody birth is posting. Please, inside, outside, tell somebody birth is posting. Those online and everybody, tell somebody again, birth is posting. Have you seen where certain people are trained for a while within a confined space and then they post them to their respective area of duties? That is what birth is in the eyes of spirits. Birth is your posting. Because the place they designed you, you were designed to carry out a function. And after they are done designing you, they post you to where you go and manifest. But unfortunately, when you arrive time as a baby. They posted you to go and do mighty feats, but you arrive time as a baby. And so the next season for everybody is growth. Growth. It does not matter how you are born. If you factor growth into that situation, you can rise from anywhere to the. Let me tell you one truth. It is only the absence of growth that keeps men perpetually mediocrities. If you factor growth into the equation, you can rise from anywhere to anywhere. I'll share a very funny story with you briefly. There was a lady in Jos when I was 7. I used to just, you know, I attached myself to God life there. So I was just going there in the evening. I'll go and lie down sometimes when they are worshiping. They have very good worship there. And I'll cry. So the lady always citing one young brother crying. Sometimes I'll just be on the ground throughout the service crying. Because there's one brother, I think his name is Nashak. If that brother touches the strings, something in my soul will just begin to bleed. And I will lay there and cry. I didn't know that God was purging my heart. All those tears was a language. Your tears is only men that see it as emotion. That tears too is a language. And the lady will come near me after some time. In her mind, she thought it was one helpless young brother who is trying to navigate his way to salvation. So she came and met me and said, "Ah, you have zeal. You have zeal. There's a book I'll give you. There's a book. Read it. Especially chapter, something like that. There's a chapter," she said, "I should read." And so I said, "Okay, I will." And there were still tears in my eye. She now touched my back and said, "Don't worry. See, I will show you some things." I love those experiences. Then sometimes she will call me and say, "The Holy Ghost just said she should call me to follow me up." I will now say, "Thank you, ma." She said, "God bless you." And I was watching how, you know, a person can become intentional to follow up a person they perceive to be a sinner. First of all, the whole, you know, initiative is good, is right. But before you do evangelism, use discernment. There are people that will waste five hours of your time and eventually they will not give their life to Jesus. They will argue with you from morning till 5 p.m. Then eventually the talk will now end as, "When we go heaven, we'll go know how the thing be." So you have wasted your day. Use discernment before you evangelize. There, you know, sir, was it not Apostle Paul that wanted to go to Asia and God says, the Holy Ghost says, "Don't go"? Wasn't it God that said, "Go ye into all the world"? But if you don't discern your steps, you will enter a place, they will behead you. So she was using so much energy to mentor me. So before I left Jos, she mentioned that I'm one of her mentees. The joy that he gave her, I wanted her to maintain it like that. No time did I express the scriptures inside my own soul. If she's talking, sometimes I'm seeing that this thing, if I'm the one, I would have arranged this thing better. One day she said, "The next time we should see, I should come with a Bible and a paper, because the things she's saying, even her, you know, it's just..." Glory to God. But in all honesty, I will submit to you, I didn't know as much as I did now. So I also needed that checkmating. Recently, she texted me, sent only one message. She said, "I never knew this is who you are." And I still replied, "Thank you, Mama." You know what I'm trying to build? The child can grow. Growth is intentional. You didn't choose to be born, but you can choose to grow. You didn't choose where you were born. You can choose to live there. You didn't choose the situation around you. You can choose to change it. If it's about growth, it's a choice. Unfortunately, if you are not doing anything, biologically, you will be growing in size. But the things that causes for transition, you'll be far from it. Can I share something with you, Anakazo? The true place of transition, it is a development of your mental faculties. Something will shift from your mind, then your body will catch up with your mind. It is as a man thinks in his heart that he is supposed to be, not the other way around. So many of us use political means to lobby our way into seasons that our mental faculties are not prepared to host those dimensions. And so life will send you back to where your preparation is. Have you seen people that just taste something small and then go back to... It was Apostle Mike that told me something. He said, "Prepare. Prepare. Pray now like you will never have time again. Study now as though you will never have time to study again." When you manifest, men will never give you a second chance. You know, many of us, what we do, we just jump up. When you jump up, When you jump up, you will come down, because gravity will bring you down. When you grow up, you will remain up. Many men are jumping up, so you will see their head briefly, but they will now come down, because it was not a product of growth. Invite me to your conference. You need it. I stay some time and I see a lot of messages enter my phone, you know, especially voice notes from WhatsApp. Somebody will just stay on his own in his home bathroom, because I could hear echo, and just say, Jesus, you are good. And then record it and send to me and say, sir, just want you to listen to it. Man of God, were you not the one that somebody sent a song that he did? Mentioning my name inside the song, like this song that Igbo do to get money from politicians. Now called my name and say, these are the burning ones. And now sent it to me and say, I would like to come and minister in your church. Abba. That is not growth. You know you are growing when your result is sponsored by your nature. Not what you are saying again. It is who you are that is bringing these things now to your life. You know you are growing. Growth. This is what will separate high flyers from mediocres tomorrow. Failures from success. Victors from losers. It's one secret. Growth. They can laugh at you today, but thank God there's an opportunity to grow. You will not remain down forever. I'm speaking to brothers and sisters, those people who, some people are, you know, are walking around the clock to intimidate you. You are feeling so little, as though you are nothing. It's a good place you are. It's a perfect place to start growing from. Can I tell you something? Amen. The more the people who don't believe in you, the more your motivation to grow. Unfortunately, I see a generation of people who are supposed to be offended at complacency and push in all the effort to grow. How do you grow? This one, they left it so that any man who arrived at a place of stardom, a place of victory, you will not be able to say it was God alone that lifted you. Is that you gave God space. Because if it's only God, anybody that is lifted, he will look at the rest and say, God is not fair to me. If it is only God that is the factor, then all the people who didn't make it, they will. You know how many Christians are also living defeated life? It is because apart from salvation, there are areas of your life. There are requirements that it will take your commitment to partner with God so that both of you can achieve it. If you are not ready to grow, forget the crown. Somebody, can you hear me? If you are not ready to grow, forget the nations. God is telling you to write now. Write that book. Write that book. He will carry your Bible. He will write once upon a time. And you now put your head on this line and sleep off. And after 3 months, only once upon a time is on the paper. My friend Steve Angulu, how many of you know him? I've brought him here several times. Started off as just writing for fun, and all he was doing was writing journals, keeping record of his daily affairs. I knew what he was doing then. As I speak to you now, that small writing that he was doing on campus, because I know, because I was his roommate. I knew that we the story, you can, if, hey, greatness is not a destination. Greatness is a path. If you see anybody on that path, it's already great. It's just a matter of time. If you see any, you can tell a great man when you see the way he's living his life already. When you see the factors that he pressed into it 24 hours. If you see how he uses his time, you know the difference between this person and greatness is time. Because he has found the path. Greatness is not a destination. Greatness is a path. If you find any man on it, it's already great. I knew that guy. We'll keep our ears on the ground. We told ourselves some years ago that we will shake nations. That the nations must hear us. So all men must journey on their path. Can I share something with you? Amen. At birth, you are just a child. So the mighty healing apostle will also be born as a child. John G. Lake, once upon a time, was a sick child. Evan Roberts, once upon a time, a child. Catherine Kuhlman, once upon a time, a child. So everybody, that hospital that they gave birth to you, they gave birth to some children like you two inside. The same date. The only thing that is different on their certificate is name. The same time. The weight of the baby might be the same. But after 20 years, that baby that was on bed B is calling the baby on bed A and saying, can you help me ask God? How did one become more accessible to God than another? Tell somebody by your side, growth. We were in primary school together. We will not always be together. Growth will classify us into cadres. Tomorrow, many people who refuse to grow will begin to say, see, this person is now feeling. He is not feeling. You know the good thing about growth? Anytime you decide, you can start growing. But since we all arrive as children, the only thing a child is, a child is just a child is just potential. The child can be anything. Can somebody say the child can be anything? But the child is not anything. Does that make sense? He can be anything, but he's not anything yet. All he is potential. All she is potential. That child can be anything, but that child is not anything yet. How do you go from potential? You identify a path. Pick a path. I'm speaking to a generation tonight. Choose a path. You cannot be doing everything. You will be known for something. You cannot be pursuing different things at the same time. Look for something that you chose. Pursue it and become really good at it. If you become really good at anything, that thing will go from a skill. It will become an employment. Because the better you are, the more your possibility of bringing other people under that canopy. You can even start transferring it as a skill. Today, somebody, you know, is in ministry, goes, pray, 2-3 years, 4 years, the ground is hard, pack up, sell the chairs, sell the drum, carry the money, enter Okrika business, went to Monday market, got a shop, start selling Okrika. Very soon, before you know, fire, catch Monday market, his own shop burn. He came back again and say, now, his prophetic ministry. He opened the church. People say, okay, you are back. Before anything again, he said that you want to go and hear God again and come back. When you are 50 years, you will find out you are jumping from pillar to post. I saw one clip. It was one salvation God did for me. I shared with those of us at the retreat. I just heard that the Oedipo, they asked him the question, the secret of ministry. And he says it is one, consistency. You know what consistency is? Doing that thing over and over again and learning better ways to do it. Consistency. Have you learned how to stay at the thing God has given you to do? If you commit to anything, that thing will be good. That's how people jump from relationship to relationship. A man divorced his wife, married another woman, divorced her, then say, in fact, this one that I married now is worse than the first one. In fact, if it's that first one I have, I will thank my God. Now went back to the first one, she's already married to another person. Then now told her to help him, link him to one of her friends. Consistency. Many things people walk away from are things if you would have remained. I know people, the story of their life is littered with incomplete projects. You will start something small here. When you are supposed to stay and mature the thing, you will now leave it. The people who continued, tomorrow you will now see them that they have made it in the thing. You will be regretting. Your story of your life is that you are a beginning of many things, but you never ended anything. There are people who are good beginners, but they don't know how to end. They can talk very well, but how to start that thing, they don't know how to start it. There are people who are good starters, but they don't know how to end well. Tonight, may God give you grace to both be a good beginner and a person who can finish well. The child grew. Our time is fast spent. Let me tie it up. After growth, the next is manifestation. and manifestation is only within an envelope of time. You don't have forever to manifest. I will tell you why. You don't have forever to manifest. Manifestation is only a season. If you miss the season of your appearing, you can appear any other time. The allegiance of your generation will no longer be directed to you. It says the child John remained in the wilderness until the season of his showing forth. The season of his appearing. You grow until you appear. You grow until growth announces you. You grow until the season of appearing. Many of us here, you don't know yet that there's no time. There's no time. There's no time. That skill you have to learn. If you know what is good, start it now quickly. As a matter of fact, in all honesty, as touching this matter of manifestation, I want you to know that from the camp of darkness, from the host of the kingdom of darkness, they have produced their own warriors already. Goliath, for our own age, has manifested. It is only in Zion that those who are supposed to appear, God is still saying, Adam, where are you? You know how many people go to clubs on a daily basis under the inspiration of Wizkid, Davido, and what are their names again? Don't pretend, you know, just... You know how many pregnancies, how many rapes, how many ungodly lifestyle of alcohol. You know, the devil has a candidate for every mountain. There are those who sing songs that is compatible for smokers. As you are hearing that song, it's... It was Evangelist Emmanuel Zwahu that told us a story. I think he's the one. Some smokers smoked weed until it reached that point where they started looking for their leg. Searching for their leg. There are songs and sound that were designed particularly to help you on whatever path of lust you choose. If your own is immorality, there are songs that it will be like a lubricant, giving you more speed on that path. If your own is lust for substance, there are some songs that are laced with certain touch of reggae. As you are listening to it, you know, there's one brother who were in FCS then. Once they start singing some song, you start saying, che, 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 che. I knew that the world has not come out of him yet. Manifestation. You don't have forever to show up. Those of you who are supposed to be the defenders of territories, defenders of families, defenders of region, are you going to show up when the devil is done killing everybody you are supposed to defend? What is your use if the defender didn't come when the war was being fought? They've produced Davido, they've produced Wizkid, they've produced Burna Boy, all kinds of mighty weapons from the camp of darkness. Where are those who fight for the flag of Jesus? We still think we have time. Yet in the canopy of darkness, they already have board meetings with candidates, champions and captains who are doing exploit in darkness. See how your friends are unapologetic about their lifestyle. Sometimes they even want to mock you because it's of how bold they are about what they do. You don't see yet that darkness has produced their champions. But from the camp of light, we say, one day I know when I... Which one day? The war is now. The battle for souls is now. There are some of you, God is telling you to start media ministries. God is telling you to start platforms, to start blogs, to attack what is going on there on the space. And then you just, you know, say one day, you know, you if you miss the season of your manifestation, there's little or nothing you can do at the end of the day. In John chapter 9 verse 4, Jesus speaking, he says, I must walk the walk of he that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can walk. Lastly, which is the last season of the expression of man, tell somebody by your side, death. Please, please, I need you to say it. Say death. It is not an enemy. Death is not something to fear. Let me show you a scripture. Very quickly, Psalm 116 verse 15. Psalm 116 verse 15. I pray God helps our heart tonight. 1, 2, 3, go. Precious, come on, Anakazo, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sins. Is this in your Bible? The death of righteous people is precious in God's eyes. So Apostle Paul buttressed this scripture. He says, for me to live is Christ, and if I die, is gain. Death is part of the season, just as birth is a season of entry. Death is report. Tell somebody report. Remember, you had posting. Go. When you are done with your posting, you will go and report what you have done. Death is report. Death is not tragedy. For those who have Jesus, death is glory. Unfortunately, that same Jesus you have been avoiding, that same Jesus you have not taken serious. Let me show you a scripture very quickly before we go. John chapter 5, verse 22. The same Jesus that you want to use to get things and you ignore his government. Let's read together at the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. For the Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment unto whom? Who is the Son? Please, who is the Son? Have you heard of the great white throne judgment before? That's a great line, small and great. And books were open. Other books were open. Huh? And they were all judged according to what was written in the book. Amen. You know who will judge us at the end of the day? Jesus. The Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment to who? Come on, to who? That person you are ignoring inside time, you go and meet him. The Jesus you refuse to accept, you will meet him in eternity. Inside eternity, there is only two fate: eternal damnation or eternal life. And God does not send anybody to hell. Men choose where they want to go by their lifestyle. There's no time that eternity should be, you know, at the center point of our existence like now. But yet, the love of many have waxed cold. An evil prophecy have found expression upon us. Things that the elders spoke about with fear, our generation became the people that domesticated those prophecies. So we became lovers of ourselves more than lovers of God. The love of this generation for God has waxed cold. And people die on a daily basis. Within the week, somebody called me about their father who was taken to the hospital for a checkup or something, and then a doctor just came, or a nurse or something, a quack nurse came and injected them with the wrong injection, and man just died there. And they were crying. And I thought about a person who can walk with himself by himself to the hospital and don't know that he will go and die. Do you know what eternity is? How did we lose touch with the things that was the focal point of the elders? If you lose Jesus, if you die without him, is the biggest risk of all time. Sister, get married. Own that boutique. Get that your big supermarket. Raise those children. If they like, let their hair be coily. When you die without Jesus, you are lost forever. The torment of the flames of hell is real. I don't know why people don't talk about these things again. Eternity is as real now as it was before. Narrow is the path that leads to life. Broad is the path that leads to damnation. But there are only few people that walk on the narrow path. Many of us, our salvation at the moment, as I speak to you, many of us know that if Jesus calls you now, if your call, the role is called up yonder for you now, you will miss it. My voice, this night as I'm speaking, they will remind you, why didn't you hearken to his voice? We kept a trumpet in television. He was blowing the alarm week in, week out. Why did you not hearken to him? I don't know whether you will tell them then that what me I was looking for. You know, many of us come to this meeting. You come because of something you want God to do for you. And you don't even have a relationship with the God. You don't know that salvation is your greatest inheritance. One of these days you will sleep and you may not wake up again. One of these days we will be busy doing what we are doing and the trumpet will sound. If you did not hear it, you are in trouble. The fact that you did not see some people, just know you are in trouble. If you are part of those who are asking, where is this person? You are already in trouble. Because somebody will manifest. Let's imagine that you are in a plane flying in an altitude of 34,000 feet. And the pilot is born again. I'm trying to tell you what the rapture will do to time. Some people will look for their president, they will not find him again. Hey, it might be on a Friday like this. I'll be teaching, and then you just see Mike fall down. And if you saw that Mike, you are in trouble. If you are the one that will go and be knocking and say, I beg you, don't help me see this person. There's already, as the world will start boiling, different systems scattering, because the rapture will prove that actually Christians are the salt of the earth. You will know how many spirits could not enter time because the bride of Jesus is inside time. When they leave, you will see systems collapse. Oh, that glorious morning, by and by. That's what we live for. When we leave this place, you will know suddenly that your miniskirt, you will not have any place to wear it to. You know that your high heel, but you cannot use it again. Filling stations will not be working again. Now, you know you are shouting, I shall not die but live. Then people will be begging death to come for them. Death will say, I have no business with the world again. In the middle of this confusion, a man of sin will present himself as the leader of the world, the reign of the Antichrist. In UN currently, they've prepared his office. They've set everything for his manifestation. They've prepared the stage for one world government, for one world religion, and then for one ruler of the world. Everything is set for him. And yet, the men who were warned that be careful, like a thief in the night I will come, we are not being careful. We are carried about by all kinds of distraction. I must make it. I must marry. What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and what he lost was his soul? Some of you, as I'm speaking now, the Lord is trying to touch your heart, but the stony heart is refusing. So no, I'm not. That day as we will be leaving this realm, when we turn back, some of you will see that your brother, that one you are supposed to preach to, you will see him left behind. Tears will fool your eyes because you will know it. Some of you is your parents. You will see them with their stubbornness. They refuse. Whether you are 80 years, if you don't have Jesus, you are not saved. Everybody you refuse to talk to about Jesus. I'm saying something that can happen any moment from now. Because every prophecy that has gone forth, they all played out on our head. Things happened and we didn't even know that we were the ones who fulfilled them. Tonight, as we go, I give one opportunity. It's an altar call for a generation. I don't know what... Listen, I'm not talking about, if you want to give your life to Christ, please run forward. If you have by any chance go forward for any altar call that was not out of genuine repentance, acknowledging that you are wrong. If you went out for any altar call that was not on the basis of genuine repentance, I am wrong. I have sinned against heaven and against earth. The prodigal son says, I have sinned. I no longer deserve to be called your son. This is the heart of repentance. Wherever you are, wherever you are, if this eternal call is for you, if this call for salvation, how can we escape if we ignore this great a call for salvation? Come, wherever you are. Jesus waits for you. I know you prefer to wait for somebody to get up first so that you now get strength from that one person. But today, Jesus prepared today for his children. Come forward, please. Please, there's no need to kneel down. You can stand so we'll have more space. God bless you. This is an eternal decision. God bless you. Wherever you are, come. There are spaces here. The protocol should climb up so that people can move forward.
Haya, 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 haya. Mbakada Yesu.
Come. Jesus waits for you wherever you are. Please send people towards this direction. We have more spaces.
Mbakada Yesu.
One of these days, believe the things I tell you this night, and believe me with all your heart. There are things I cannot tell you because I don't want to be misquoted, but I have seen the world of the Spirit. I have seen a glimpse of eternity. I have had out of body experiences. I have seen the sorrow that will be in the heart of a man without Jesus. If you don't have him, you are lost forever. I've seen it.
Haya, haya. Haya, haya. Mbakada Yesu.
Let's pray wherever we are now. Just bow your head and talk to Jesus. Show me mercy. I am sorry. Father, I am sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Who is it that thinketh that he stands? They say, let that person take heed, oh. Jesus. If you miss Jesus, you have missed it forever.
Haya, haya. Haya, haya. Mbakada Yesu.
Everybody outside with a repentant heart, please say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you as my Lord and Savior. I declare that from today, I am for you and you are for me. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I believe that I am saved. I am a child of God. Say it again. I am a child of God. Say it one last time. I am a child of God. Congratulations to everybody. A whole new experience has started for your life.
In my life, you be glorified, be glorified. In my life, say,
in my life.
God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnacazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.